You are listening to The Vitals, a bi-monthly podcast for all things oncology nursing. For even more content, check out oncologynursingnews.com or find Oncology Nursing News on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, or LinkedIn. Hi everyone, this is Lindsay Fisher, Associate Editor at Oncology Nursing News. For this episode of The Vitals, we ring in the new year by combing through 2022 FDA approvals. Hear key approvals on a month-by-month basis with input from some of the investigators from behind the research. To read the full information surrounding the approvals, be sure to check out our news coverage below. As always, thank you for listening to The Vitals and for all the engagement in 2022. We look forward to bringing you more oncology nursing news in the new year. In January 2022, the FDA kicked it off by approving tebentafusp for the treatment of adult patients with unresectable or metastatic uveal melanoma. The regulatory decision was supported by Phase 3 findings, which showed that the agent resulted in a significant benefit in overall survival, or OS, versus investigators' choice of treatment when used in the frontline setting. The estimated median overall survival in the investigative arm was 21.7 months, versus 16 months in the control arm. The estimated one-year OS rates in the tebentafusp and investigators' choice arms were 73% and 59%, respectively. The OS benefit with tebentafusp was generally noted across the pre-specified subsets examined in the trial. Notably, this is the first FDA-approved treatment option for patients with unresectable or metastatic uveal melanoma. In February, the FDA approved sildecabtagene autoleucel for the treatment of adult patients with relapsed or refractory multiple myeloma following four or more prior lines of therapy, including a proteasome inhibitor, an immunomodulatory agent, and an anti-CD38 monoclonal antibody. The approval for siltacel was based on findings from the Phase 1b/2 CARTITUDE 1 trial, in which siltacel elicited an objective response rate of 98% in this patient population. Additionally, the stringent complete response rate was 78%. The median duration of response was 21.8 months at a median 18 months of follow-up. Hear from Dr. Jagannath, Director of the Center of Excellence for Multiple Myeloma and Professor of Medicine at the Tisch Cancer Institute and Mount Sinai, on the significance of this approval.
The approval of this CAR T cell therapy has been a major breakthrough. Why do I consider major breakthrough? You know, just to give you a perspective, usually the new drugs which are approved, especially accelerated approvals, are given to treatment modality which has had a meaningful benefit for patients who have failed all the currently approved treatment. And traditionally, you know, if you look at all the drugs that have been approved, the last few of them, like selinexor or belantamab, usually the response rate is in the neighborhood of 30%, and the PFS maybe 3 months, but the duration of response 9 months, survival year 15 months, something to that effect. But what we have in this approval of siltacel is the overall response rate is about 97.5 or 98%. And also the stringent complete response rate of 80%, somewhere in that neighborhood. But most important is it's durable. The progression-free survival, when they presented in ASH with the 22.5 months of median follow-up, you know, they had 60% still progression-free at about 2 years. And overall survival, obviously much better. So that kind of responses and durability of response, the depth of response, the durability of response, and improvement survival expectancy in patient literally, you know, would have gone for hospice if this drug was not made available, is for me, is absolutely a game changer.
In March, the FDA approved nivolumab plus platinum doublet chemotherapy for adult patients with resectable non-small cell lung cancer in the neoadjuvant setting. It also approved olaparib for the adjuvant treatment of patients with germline BRCA-mutated HER2-negative high-risk early breast cancer who have previously received chemotherapy either before or after surgery. In the melanoma sphere, the FDA approved relatlimab plus nivolumab for unresectable or metastatic melanoma for adult or pediatric patients who are 12 years of age or older. Lastly, the FDA approved pembrolizumab for use as a single agent in the treatment of patients with advanced endometrial carcinoma that is microsatellite instability high or mismatch repair deficient and who experience disease progression following previous systemic therapy in any setting and are not candidates for curative surgery or radiation. In April, the FDA approved axicabtagene ciloleucel for the treatment of adult patients with large B-cell lymphoma that is refractory to first-line chemoimmunotherapy or relapses within 12 months of first-line chemoimmunotherapy. The regulatory decision was based on findings from the Phase 3 ZUMA-7 trial, which showed that at a median follow-up of 24.9 months, the estimated median event-free survival with the CAR T-cell therapy was 8.3 months, versus 2 months with standard of care treatment. The estimated 18-month event-free survival rate in the investigative and control arms were 41.5% versus 17%, respectively. In May 2022, the FDA granted regular approval to trastuzumab deruxtecan for adult patients with unresectable or metastatic HER2-positive breast cancer who had previously received an anti-HER2-based regimen either in the metastatic or in the neoadjuvant or adjuvant setting and have developed disease recurrence during or within 6 months of therapy completion. Previously, in December 2019, the antibody drug conjugate had been granted an accelerated approval from the regulatory agency for use in adult patients with unresectable or metastatic HER2-positive breast cancer who had received two or more prior anti-HER2-based regimens in the metastatic setting. In this new approval, with the new data presented, the PFS benefit that was achieved with trastuzumab deruxtecan over its comparator, T-DM1, was noted across all subsets of patients examined, irrespective of prior lines of therapy received. The FDA then went on to approve azacitidine for pediatric patients with newly diagnosed juvenile myelomonocytic leukemia. It also approved ivosidenib in combination with azacitidine for the treatment of patients with newly diagnosed IDH1-mutated acute myeloid leukemia who were age 75 years or older, or have comorbidities that preclude use of intensive induction chemotherapy. In the same month, the FDA approved two frontline nivolumab-based regimens for the treatment of adult patients with unresectable, advanced, or metastatic esophageal squamous cell carcinoma, irrespective of PD-L1 status, as well as Tisagen Leclusal for relapsed or refractory lymphoma following two or more lines of systemic therapy. Dr. MacArthur, Associate Professor in the Department of Internal Medicine and Clinical Director of the Breast Cancer Program at Simmons Cancer Center at the University of Texas Southwestern Medical Center, unpacks the data that supported this approval and expands on its significance.
In DESTINY-Breast03, trastuzumab deruxtecan went head-to-head with T-DM1, which was an established standard of care based on the Amelia data, and they have reported an improvement in progression-free survival, which was the primary endpoint for that study, with a hazard ratio of 0.28, which is an unprecedented improvement in progression-free survival. And specifically, the 12-month progression-free survival was about 76 months versus 34 months with T-DM1. And one of the secondary endpoints that they looked at, of course, was overall survival with a hazard ratio approaching 0.5, indicating an approximately 50% risk in or reduction in risk of death in favor of trastuzumab deruxtecan. So that was a total game changer, with the benefits being observed in all of the subgroups interrogated. So it really became a new standard in the second line.
In June 2022, the FDA granted an accelerated approval to debrafenib plus trantinib for the treatment of adult and pediatric patients aged 6 years and older who have unresectable or metastatic solid tumors harboring a BRAF V600E mutation, who have progressed following previous treatment, and who have no satisfactory alternative treatment options. the regulatory decision was supported by clinical efficacy and safety data observed in 3 clinical trials. In June, the FDA also approved lisocaptagene maraleucel as second-line therapy for adult patients with large B-cell lymphoma, including diffuse large B-cell lymphoma not otherwise specified, including DLBCL arising from indolent lymphoma, high-grade B-cell lymphoma, primary mediastinal LBCL, and follicular lymphoma grade 3B. In July, the FDA approved crizotinib for adult and pediatric patients aged 1 year and older with unresectable, recurrent, or refractory inflammatory ALK-positive myofibroblastic tumors. In August, the FDA approved trastuzumab deruxtecan for unresectable or metastatic HER2-low breast cancer. The regulatory decision was based on data from the Phase 3 DESTINY-Breast04 trial in which the antibody-drug conjugate was found to significantly improve progression-free survival and overall survival over physician's choice of chemotherapy in this patient population. The FDA then approved darolutamide plus docetaxel for metastatic hormone-sensitive prostate cancer. This regulatory decision was supported by findings from the Phase 3 trial. This regulatory decision was supported by Phase 3 findings in which darolutamide plus docetaxel improved median overall survival compared with the control arm alone. The median OS with the combination was not reached versus 48.9 months of docetaxel by itself. The FDA then granted approval to 2 agents in the non-small cell lung cancer space. First, the FDA granted regular approval to capmatinib for adult patients with metastatic non-small cell lung cancer whose tumors have a mutation leading to MET exon 14 skipping, as detected by an FDA-approved test. The FDA then approved trastuzumab deruxtecan for another indication in August, this one for adult patients with unresectable or metastatic non-small cell lung cancer whose tumors have activating HER2 mutations as detected by an FDA-approved test and who received previous systemic therapy. Also in August, the FDA approved ibrutinib for pediatric patients aged 1 year or older with chronic graft-versus-host disease following failure of one or more lines of systemic therapy, along with pemigatinib for the treatment of adults with relapsed or refractory myeloid or lymphoid neoplasms and an FGFR1 rearrangement. Hear from Dr. Levy, Clinical Director of Medical Oncology at Johns Hopkins Sidney Kimmel Cancer Center at Sibley Memorial Hospital, about the significance of this newest indication.
This is exciting. It's yet another tool that we have in our therapeutic armamentarium to deliver personalized therapy for patients with non-small cell lung cancer, specifically here, patients that have HER2 alterations. This is not a small subgroup of patients, about 2 to 5% of lung adenocarcinoma. Historically, we haven't been able to really drug this alteration, and we've got a very good drug now, and an antibody drug conjugate with trastuzumab deruxtecan, which can elicit durable and meaningful responses. And so big change. HER2 alterations now the 10th biomarker in lung adenocarcinoma that allows us to give another targeted therapy. What an exciting time to be in the field of lung cancer.
In September, the FDA approved durvalumab plus gemcitabine and cisplatin for locally advanced or metastatic biliary tract cancers. The regulatory decision was supported by findings from the Phase 2 TOPAZ-1 trial in which durvalumab plus chemo significantly improved median overall survival compared with chemotherapy alone at 12.8 months and 11.5 months. The median PFS experience in those who received the novel treatment was 7.2 months compared with 5.7 months, respectively. The FDA also approved PEDMARK for the prevention of platinum-induced ototoxicity in pediatric solid tumors, and selpercatinib received 2 indications. The kinase inhibitor was granted regular approval for locally advanced or metastatic RET fusion positive non-small cell lung cancer. It was also granted accelerated approval for patients with solid tumors harboring a RET gene fusion mutation. Lastly, in September, the FDA approved futinibatinib for FGFR positive cholangiocarcinoma in adult patients with previously treated unresectable locally advanced or metastatic disease. The regulatory decision was supported by data which showed that among 103 patients, futibatinib elicited an overall response rate of 42% by independent central review, and the median duration of response with the agent was 9.7 months. 72% of patients experienced a duration of response that lasted for at least 6 months, and 14% had a response that lasted for at least 12 months. The median time to response was 2.5 months. In October, the FDA approved durvalumab plus tremelimumab for the treatment of adult patients with unresectable hepatocellular carcinoma. This approval was based on findings from the Phase 3 Himalaya trial, in which the combination of durvalumab plus tremelimumab led to a 22% reduction in the risk of death versus sorafenib. In data published in the New England Journal of Medicine Evidence, approximately 31% of patients treated with the combination were still alive after 3 years versus 20% of patients on sorafenib. The combination is administered via the single tremelimumab regular interval durvalumab or STRIDE regimen, which comprises a single dose of tremelimumab at 300 mg plus durvalumab at 1500 mg, followed by durvalumab every 4 weeks. The FDA then granted accelerated approval to teclistamab for adult patients with relapsed or refractory multiple myeloma who have received at least 4 previous lines of therapy, including a proteasome inhibitor, an immunomodulatory agent, and an anti-CD38 monoclonal antibody. The regulatory decision was supported by data from a Phase 1-2 trial, which showed that teclistamab elicited an objective response rate of 61.8% by independent review committee assessment and utilizing International Myeloma Working Group 2016 criteria. Moreover, at a median follow-up of 7.4 months in responders, the estimated duration of response rates at 6 months with the agent was 90.6%. At 9 months, this rate was 66.5%, and the median duration of response was not estimable. Here, Dr. Sengal, Medical Director of the Liver Tumor Program and Clinical Chief of Hepatology at the University of Texas Southwestern Medical Center, weigh in on the FDA approval of durvalumab and tremelimumab in this setting.
The approval of the regimen for durvalumab and tremelimumab, the STRIDE regimen, is a notable advance in the field of HCC. As you and many people know, for many years, we had a single agent approved for HCC that gave a median survival right around 11 months. And, you know, over the last couple of years, we've really seen a marked improvement for the regimens that we have in the first line setting, both with atezolbev and now durvatremi being available in the first line setting. And we see a marked improvement in first line survival for patients with advanced stage HCC, now, you know, extending out to a year and a half plus.
In November 2022, the FDA approved cemiplimab plus platinum-based chemotherapy in adult patients with advanced non-small cell lung cancer with no EGFR, ALK, or ROS1 aberrations. The FDA then went on to approve brentuximab vedotin in combination with doxorubicin, vincristine, etoposide, prednisone, and cyclophosphamide in pediatric patients aged 2 years and older with previously untreated high-risk classical Hodgkin lymphoma. This decision was supported by findings from a Phase 3 trial in which the addition of the antibody-drug conjugate significantly improved event-free survival over standard of care treatment in this patient population. Those in the investigative arm experienced a reduction in the risk of disease progression or relapse, second cancer, or death of 59%. The FDA then approved tremelimumab plus platinum-based chemotherapy for adult patients with metastatic non-small cell lung cancer without sensitizing EGFR mutations or ALK aberrations. This was based on findings which showed that the combination of tremelimumab, durvalumab, and chemotherapy significantly improved overall survival compared with chemotherapy alone, at 14 months versus 11.7 months respectively. This translated to a 23% reduction in the risk of death. Lastly, in November, the FDA granted accelerated approval to mirvetuximab soravtansine for the treatment of adult patients with folate receptor A-positive platinum-resistant epithelial ovarian, fallopian tube, or primary peritoneal cancer who had received 1 to 3 prior systemic treatment regimens. This decision was supported by Phase 3 findings which showed that mirvetuximab soravtansine elicited a confirmed investigator-assessed objective response rate of 31.7%. This included a complete response rate of 4.8% and a partial response rate of 26.9%. Moreover, the median duration of response was 6.9 months per investigator assessment. Here, Dr. Matchalonis, Chief Division of Gynecologic Oncology and the Brock Wilson Family Chair at the Dana-Farber Cancer Institute, discussed the significance of this approval for patients with ovarian cancer.
the accelerated approval of mirvetuximab's raftansine in women with recurrent and platinum-resistant ovarian cancer, which is FR-alpha high, is truly significant. It's significant in a number of ways. It really is. It's the first therapy, new therapy, since 2014, since bevacizumab was approved to be added to chemotherapy, non-platinum chemotherapy for platinum-resistant cancer. It is the first antibody-drug conjugate that's been approved for ovarian cancer. And it's really one of the first biomarker-driven treatments for our patients.
All right, and in December, the FDA approved olutasidenib for the treatment of patients with relapsed or refractory acute myeloid leukemia with an identified IDH1 mutation by an FDA-approved test. Atezolizumab received the green light for alveolar soft part sarcoma for patients aged 2 years and older. Atezolizumab received the green light for patients aged 2 years and older with unresectable or metastatic alveolar soft part sarcoma. And adagrasib received accelerated approval for the treatment of patients with locally advanced or metastatic KRAS G12C mutant non-small cell lung cancer who have already received at least one systemic therapy. Here, Dr. Spira, co-director of the Virginia Cancer Specialist Research Institute, director of thoracic and phase 1 program, and clinical assistant professor at Johns Hopkins School of Medicine, discussed the FDA approval of adagrasib in this setting.
The approval of this drug is very important for a couple of reasons. One is adagrasib opens up another KRAS G12C inhibitor. And while they're similar, both sotorasib and adagrasib are similar, they do have different side effect profiles. There's also very strong data to show that adagrasib has central nervous system penetration, which is important. We don't know about that yet for sotorasib. There's some anecdotal reports. There's pretty good data for adagrasib. So it opens up other options for patients, and it's always good to have for patients to pick based upon tolerability and side effects.
Thank you for listening to this episode of The Vitals. Be sure to never miss a beat with Oncology Nursing News.